and isn't found. We're in the series titled Come to Worship, and this is week four. We've been just looking at postures of worship, just ways to worship God. And some of the ways that we've talked about are ones that many of us have experienced, maybe not that we've done, but we've seen others, and we've probably had some questions and wondered and all of that stuff. And so we've just been trying to bring those down to why is it that we should worship those ways, and what are the significance of them. And if you missed any of them, you can go to our website and listen to the podcast of those right there on the website. You can download it and listen to it whenever you want, but they're there. And this has been just a really awesome series to kind of just dig through, because we're talking about worshiping the King, worshiping Christ, the one who loved us so much. And so today we're gonna talk about bringing our gifts. Today's Christmas Eve, and most of you are either going to give away gifts today or tomorrow, and it's going to happen. In fact, I got a gift a little bit earlier, and so I was thinking about, as we talk about bringing our gifts, what are the things that I could do to show you what it's like to give? And if you know me, you're about to see me do something that it takes everything that I have in me to do this. And that's to give away Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay? So I just want you to know that I'm going to bring this gift with love. And I'm going to bring it and give it to the first two people that raise their hand. Next person, raise quick. There we go. So now you know that if I give away Reese's peanut butter cups, and that I truly do it, it's out of love, because it ain't because I wanted to. I'm just telling you, I don't need them, but I love them and I appreciate them, and so take those home. I'll tell you the best way to eat them. Take them home, put them on top of a cookie, and then make a brownie and do it. I had some the other night, and it was sin. I'm telling you, it was sin, and so I'm confessing it before all of you. But we talk about bringing our gifts and worshiping God. And so today, this is about how do you give gifts? I mean, we all do it. We're gonna give away a lot of stuff in the next day or two, and we maybe have already done that, but we're going to be giving it away. And why? Why do we give it away? And then most importantly, what's the ultimate thing to give away? And we're gonna dig down into those. But we begin in our scripture, starting in Matthew chapter 2, and it's part of the account of Jesus' birth. Now, some people will say this is the Christmas story. Now, you need to understand this isn't a story. This isn't something that somebody made up. This isn't something that somebody wrote down to make it sound good and so that we could all have... This is actual truth that has happened. And so this is an account of the birth of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 2. It says this: Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, as you hear this, that's the basis of our whole series, is about these men came. They heard about him. They saw a star that indicated he was there, and they went to great lengths to worship him. In fact, they go to King Herod. If you know anything about him, he wasn't a very good guy. In fact, he was a pretty evil dude, and he even lied to them by telling them when they asked about it, "Hey, whenever you find him, let me know." Because he had some pretty evil intents about the whole thing, because he was scared, he was paranoid, and he was worried about losing his place. Kind of sounds like a lot of us in a lot of ways, right? That we get worried about not being able to be and do who we want to be. And here's King Herod kind of worried about it. So in verse 9 it says, "After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was." See, they saw this star and they followed it. They knew what they were supposed to do and they did it. Can I just say that if we would do what we know we're supposed to do, things would be a lot better for us. Things would be a lot different in our lives if we just do what we know we're supposed to do and we just do it. But we resist, don't we? We all do it. It's just our natural self. We're made that way. We have this nature that makes us want to go against what we're supposed to do. But here these guys set the example. They saw and they knew what they're supposed to do. And so what happens is we read this and we don't get the full magnitude of what they did to follow what they were supposed to do. See, they traveled over across what was known as Persia, which is now modern-day Iraq. They traveled across it all the way to where Jesus was. It was a distance of about 900 miles. Now, you think about going 200 miles in a car to Myrtle Beach, right? Or whatever, it's about 200 or so. If you got kids in the car, that seems like eternity, right? And it's, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? I got to pee. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, you just go through the whole thing. These guys traveled 900 miles with some camels and each other. Think about that. If we were to leave here and go 900 miles, we would go to like Minneapolis. All right? So think about that. How far away is that for us? Topeka, Kansas is about 900 miles. Houston, Texas is about 900 miles. I mean, just to give you the breadth of what they would do, I mean, Europe, this is like twice as wide as Europe, that they traveled because they saw a star, they knew they were supposed to go, and they did whatever it took to get there. Verse 10 says this, and when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Some translations will say overjoyed. They were overjoyed, and you know, you kind of focus on that word in here, and the English translation really has a hard time getting us to get to the point of this. We say filled with joy. Well, there's a lot of things that fill us with joy, aren't they? The birth of a new baby, we're filled with joy in our family. If, you know, we get, you know, whatever we had on top of our Christmas list, we're filled with joy, or, well, you know, whatever. There's lots of things that fill us with joy, but the translation here, the words that were used in the original writing, that just doesn't do it justice. One translation says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Well, that gets us a little bit, because it's exceedingly is a word we can kind of see. And then great joy, we kind of get the picture. But here's how it really, if you were going to really bring it down and translate it, this is how it would be written. They rejoice in a big, humongous, gigantic, overarching joy. That's how you really have to describe it if you're going to look at the original writing and pull those meanings out. A huge, ginormous, gigantic joy is what they felt when they came upon that. I mean, that's just like kind of building on itself. It's like, you know, being happy that you're happy because you were happy because something made you happy. You know, it's like, you know, just over and over, it just builds on itself. And here's this joy that they were experiencing. For centuries, people had been looking for what they had finally found. People had been waiting on this moment to happen, and here it is. I mean, we wait for things, and when they happen, we're just, you know, it's just, we're filled. But these guys they're overjoyed with a huge, ginormous, gigantic joy because now the one who had been foretold is there. He's come. They had a joy that we can't even hardly describe about it. You know what the problem is, I think, with a lot of people, especially Christians? Is we're not overjoyed. We're not filled with this huge, ginormous joy that these guys had over who Christ is and why he had come. In fact, the truth is that most of us are just, we're just underjoyed. You know, we have every reason to be filled with it, but yet we're underjoyed because we don't allow ourselves to grasp the truth of why Jesus came and who he came for. See, I think sometimes we spread Jesus out so thin over everybody that we never allow him just to come in and be for us. That he's for you. And you, and you, and you, and for me. And we need to understand that there's a personal piece to this. That he came so that we could have joy and have it abundantly. A lot of Christians allow things to just cloud that joy. And so, you know, you talk to people and you say, "How you doing?" And they say, "Man, I'm good and I'm happy." And, you know, and if you just kind of go around the room, you know what? If you're overjoyed, some of us need to tell our faces. Can I just be honest? Because we don't look very overjoyed. I know some of you came in here this morning and joy is not the thing that you really want to hear about, because you've been fighting over, you know, the gifts that you got. One of you bought too much and one of you didn't buy enough and one of you bought something they shouldn't have bought and some, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, it just happens. Some of us come in here because we can get nothing, right? You know, and you're just, I talked with somebody earlier. I said, "Hey, you finished your shopping?" He said, "No, I'll do it today." Yeah. So I'm praying for him. Whoever he is, I'm praying for him. He just needs to know it. But I'm kind of there with him. Anyway, so you just need to know that we have reasons to be full of joy, but we just don't allow ourselves. And it's time that we begin to realize what we have and what's been done for us and who loves us and be able to start enjoying the joy that comes from that. That you're here and you have a purpose. God made you for a reason. He didn't make some of us and the other rest of us just happened. He didn't, you know, "Hey, I'm going to produce this group over here, but, you know, this group, they're just there." You know, it's not like, you know, Chef Boyardee and Great Value, whatever, you know, at Walmart. It's like, no, we're all Chef Boyardee. And we're all made to be good. And so we need to be able to understand that you're here for a reason. And you need to be able to enjoy the fact that God loved you that much. That's why we do this. This is what Christmas is about. So we need to be able to come together. And as we leave out of here, people need to look at us and be able to say, "You know what? That's one of the happiest people that I know." If you're a believer in Jesus, that should just be who you're known to be, that happy person. And we all have our moods. We all, you know, I get all that. Sometimes I'm the chief sinner among us when it comes to not seeming like I'm the happiest. But man, when we realize all we have to be joyful about, we should be able to enjoy that. And these wise men came and they showed up at the moment. And they, man, they had this gigantic joy that is incredible. They traveled 900 miles, and here's where they find, verse 11, here's what they do. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they what? They bowed down and worshiped him. We talked last week about the reality of bowing down and what that means for us to be able to just surrender on our knees and just acknowledge that God is God. To be able to bow down and just acknowledge that we're not in charge, but he is. And here they are, these wise men who had traveled so far, they bowed before this Savior. We talked about last week that, you know, this wasn't a baby they were bowing before. This was a 2-year-old or so, and he had to be bouncing all over the place, but yet they came and they acknowledged him. It says, "Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." These guys were so overjoyed, they bowed down and they presented their gifts. They were filled with such joy that they bowed down and they gave. They didn't give underjoyed. They gave overjoyed. And so some of us, today we're gonna give gifts to some people, and we may not be so overjoyed about it. You know, whatever. Maybe we drew, you know, our crazy uncle in the little drawing or whatever, and we got to give him something. Not gonna be very joyed about that. But today I want us to be able to learn how to be overjoyed anytime we're able to give. Because I believe giving opens up opportunities for us to not only just, you know, love people from us, but to share Christ's love as well. And we need to be able to do that. The gifts that they gave, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they've been debated for centuries about what they mean, but gold has been shown and talked about to be the symbol of Christ's royalty, the crown of the King of Kings, and it was presented to him of that's who he was. And then there's the frankincense, which was a symbol of his priesthood, a symbol of, that he would be anointed. And then there's the myrrh, which would symbolize the fact that he would die. He would give his life for all. And so we see these gifts that were given. They weren't just happenstance. There was a purpose in why they were given. And so today, I want us to talk about bringing our gifts and why it's so important that we bring our gifts and that we find joy in giving rather than to do it begrudgingly. Now, there's all kinds of ways to give. There's ways to give financially. There's ways to give physically. There's ways to give emotionally. And there's ways to give spiritually. And so today we're going to kind of talk about all of those in that picture because I think we need to understand that they're all important. They gave their gifts to him and we need to be able to see it and understand why. And so I hope for the next few moments that I'm able to help us all be able to look at giving differently, that we walk out with a new joy about handing things over to other people. And think about it. We've got to be ready to plan it out and be strategic about it. And it's got to be more than just something that happens. It's got to be a part of who we are. And love is the reason that we should give. That's why God did all of this, that he loved. And when you love someone, you give to them, right? I mean, you give them something. If you don't give them something, well, they probably ain't going to hang around very long to find out if you love them. I mean, they're going to think something's up. And if you don't give something back, if someone's given you love, you got to give it back or they're probably not going to hang around a long time to be able to receive it. And so love gives. You know, my wife is here, Kelly. We every year we say, we're not giving gifts this year. Yeah, we're not going to give each other anything. We're going to give the kids stuff, and we'll not give, but we'll do something else or whatever. And every year, what do? We give each other stuff, right? Yeah, we just had this conversation last night, and we've been kind of talking through it. I got you something. Well, I got you something too. Yeah. And so it happens. And so every year we try to do it. It's like you just can't stop because, you know, I just want to give her something. And I give her stuff because I love her. You know, I'm not the best at giving gifts. That was kind of part of our conversation. Like, look, I know stuff I give you, it stinks, right? But I mean it. When I love you when I give it. It's because I really want to give you something. Even though it's still folded up in the shelf or what. Anyway, but we won't talk about that. But we give because we love each other. Now, I know it's, you know, giving to somebody you love is one of those things that you should be thankful that you get to do. You know, and it's something you should do because you do love them. I remember, you know, listen, there's been some girls on the list that just didn't make it to the holidays. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, do I spend the money or do I keep the money? And then it's like, spend the money and keep the girl or keep the money and forget the girl. And so I've pocketed some dollars, y'all. You know, I'm just saying, you know, why do it? You know, So she, you know, that's why it's so important that I do give her stuff, because I want her to know. I want to keep her around, you know. But there's just, giving is something that we do out of this sense of, hey, I care and I love you. The most well-known verse in the Bible, even if you kind of new to this Jesus thing, or maybe you're just here and you don't even know why you're here, you probably have heard the most famous verse. And what is it? John 3:16, right? Because even if you know, if you're a sports fan, you see it behind the goalpost every Sunday, right? Or the guy with the curly rainbow hair that used to hold it up, but that's probably too old for some of y'all. But anyway, John 3:16 says, God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him wouldn't die, but would have everlasting life. Now, that's kind of the word according to Ron, but that's what it says. That he loved us so much that he gave. And he didn't just give, you know, cheap. He gave the most valuable thing that he had, and that was his son. So because of Jesus coming and giving his life, that whoever would believe in him could live forever in eternity, be forgiven of their sins, and have that relationship with him forever. He did that. And it's because he gave. He didn't give from heaven. No, he sent Jesus to earth to give to so that we could see it. And it could be it could be seen and touched and felt, and it could be believed. To give us the opportunity. Because when you love, you give. And God loved us so much that he gave his very best. Love gives. God looked at creation and said, listen, on their own, they're doomed. Because they can't do anything for themselves to restore the relationship with me. So I'll fix it. I'll send and I'll give my son so that he can give his life. And he can pay their penalty so that they can be forgiven and set free. See, God loved us that much. And that's what he did for us. God loved us. And he still loves us. And he still gives. But he gave his very best that moment when he gave Jesus. It says in Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He didn't wait for us to clean up. He didn't wait for us to get better. He didn't wait for things to kind of come around. No, while we were still in the midst of everything, he sent his son Jesus. And you need to know wherever you are right now in your life that Jesus is there to be the Savior for you. To be the one who restores you into the relationship with God the Creator that you were meant to have all along. He's there. Love gives. It gives greatly. Maybe for some of us in the room, we say, you know what, I love God, but it's really hard for me to give. It's really hard for me to let go. It's really hard for me to think of others. Well, listen, there's a cool thing called repentance that we all have the opportunity to do. That if you love God and you've come into a relationship but you still with him, but you still find yourself that way, it says this, that we can repent of our sin and be restored. What does that mean? Repent means, hey, I'm going this direction. I think like this, but I'm going to change the way that I think, and I'm going to think the way that God wants me to think. It's very simple. And at any moment, we can do that. We don't need a priest. We don't need, you know, a place to be. We can do that. We have a heavenly Father who gave his best so that we could be restored and have the relationship with him. We don't need anybody else. That's what he did. He gave so that we could have that. There's just, maybe today you find yourself struggling with that. You're struggling with, how do I get over that? How do I give in to that? Because I hear what you're saying, and that's what I want. That's what I believe that I'm missing. How do I get over that? There's this, let me just tell you this. Proverbs 3:5-8 says this. Listen. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. If you try to figure it out, let me just tell you, can I just go ahead and bust your bubble? If you and I try to figure it out on our own, it ain't going to happen. I like to think that I'm a pretty smart guy. Not the smartest, trust me. But I think I got a little bit of smarts, right? But there's no way I'm figuring it out on my own. I know a lot of smart people, way smarter than me. They're not going to figure it out on their own either, because our understanding doesn't make it. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't depend on it, but seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Today, some of you are just wondering which path to take. Hey, I'm glad Christmas is here, because it's covered up all the stuff that I'm trying to get through in my life. I'm so glad the holidays are here, because I can kind of forget about what I've been struggling with. I can forget about what I've been trying to figure out on my own. I can forget about all of that and just kind of cover it up with this for now. But guess what? On Tuesday, it's over. Right? You're going to wake back up and it's all going to be right back there. Nothing left to hide behind. And so he says, lean on my understanding. Follow my will, and I'll show you where you're supposed to be. Whatever it is that you're wondering about, whatever you're trying to figure out, this Christmas, you can know today which direction to go. He says, lean on Him, depend on Him, and He'll show you where you're supposed to be. Verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Now listen, I know some pretty smart people, and I know some pretty smart people that are pretty impressed with what they know. Right? I used to be really impressed with what I know, because I thought everything that I knew was what I needed to know. And I realized one day that what I knew was nothing, because what I needed to know was the one who knew everything, and that's Jesus. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. For some of us, we feel like we are about to collapse underneath what we're trying to figure out. He says, listen, follow Him. Trust in Him. Do what He says, and you'll be able to stand up underneath it. You'll be strong, and you'll be able to truly enjoy that. Solomon, in writing Proverbs, Solomon was supposed to be the smartest and wisest man to ever live other than Jesus. I mean, Jesus kind of cheated. He's God. Jesus didn't cheat, y'all. Okay, don't text me or email me. You know what I'm saying. But Solomon was the smartest man to ever live, and he says, don't lean on your own understanding. He says, trust God, and then worship Him. See, it went on to say in verse 9, if you kind of follow on through, it says, honor God with your wealth. Now, I purposely didn't put that in there, because I don't want you to think I'm trying to get you to give money, because this isn't about money. It's not what we're talking about today. But you need to understand that he says, honor God with your wealth. That means to be able to give. See, we're wealthy regardless of how much money we have. If you don't think you're wealthy, then the next time I go to South Africa or I go to Kenya, I'll take you with me, and you'll realize just how rich you are when it comes to material things. But I don't think that's what he's talking about necessarily there. I think he is talking about our finances, but I think he's more important talking about the wealth of who we are and what he's done for us. Honor God with what he's done for you. And begin to realize Christmas is about the baby that was born to grow up to be the man who would be the Savior of all. And we all have access to him. It's more than just giving wealth, and it's important that we get it. I believe what we do with our money is a great indicator of our heart. How we hold on to it or how we give it away, I do believe that's an indicator. But I believe more about what we do with us is a greater indicator of who we are. Because here's the truth. Giving is a reflection of what Christ has done in us. Our giving, our ability to give away, our ability to bless others, our ability to just give us away is a reflection of what Christ has done in us. If you're having a hard time giving, if you're having a hard time being able to bless others and just, you know, to be able to just let go of stuff, let me just tell you, I think that goes, and I more than think, I believe that it goes to who you are in Christ. Because if you're not able to give away, I got to tell you, I'm not sure that you know the one who gave everything away. And I got to encourage you that, you know, don't feel bad about it. Just do something about it. Accept Him. And allow Him to begin to work in you so that your giving of you and everything that you have will be a reflection of what He's done in you. Christmas is all we talk about. It's better to give than to receive, right? But what do we really want to do? We want to receive, right? I like getting gifts. I like walking down the hallway and seeing a bag hanging on my door handle that was a gift for me, right? I walked in here today, somebody handed me a gift. I said, thank you. You know what I had for them? Nothing. And I did feel bad about it. But then once I opened it, I kind of forgot because it was really cool. But we love to get. But I believe that if we're going to be who Christ wants us to be, we've got to be willing to give. We've got to be willing to give away. And I don't think we can just, if we're truly going to be, I don't think it's just about giving stuff away. I don't think it'll be about just stuff in boxes and that we can hand and unwrap and all that. I just don't believe that. I believe there's something greater that we have to give away. Paul, who was one of the great haters of Christians, as he was Saul, and he was a persecutor and responsible for him being beaten and killed and just treated them terrible. If you're here today and you don't like church people, well, Paul was that way. I don't like church people either, really. But I love Christians. I love believers. But I don't just love people to play church because that's what gets us all in trouble. But the truth of it is that Paul was like that. But he was transformed and he became this guy that would be imprisoned and beaten and all of that for his belief in Jesus. But listen to what he says in Romans 12, verse 1. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. Say this with me. This is truly the way to worship Him. If we say we're going to come and we're going to worship, then He says that the way that we do that is by giving everything to God, including us. In view of all that God had done for him, in view of who God is, and in view of what God did for us, He just says, listen, give Him you. See, I believe our reflection of how we can give ourselves to God is a very clear reflection of who He is and what He's done in our lives and who we see Him as. If we're not able to do that, listen, if we can't give ourselves, then I believe that there's a barrier, there's a wall in between there. And for some of us in the room, that's just the fact that we've never acknowledged Him. And we've never accepted what He's done for us and allowed it to change us and make us who He wants us to be. For some of us, we've made that decision, but we've just let everything else kind of rise up and get in the way of us truly just following and letting go. See, I see so many people, so many faces in here that are kind of regulars, and I see the abilities and opportunities that you have to be all that God wants you to be, but I see there's things that are just holding you back, and I get it. I know. I've been there. But I believe that He says, listen, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Give it over to Him. There's just things in our lives that we allow to be there that shouldn't be there, and it's because we've just never come to the place to trust Him for who He really is. We talk a good talk, but He calls us to walk the walk. So today, my goal is not to make you feel bad on Christmas Eve, but it is to bring you to a place that you can experience this huge, ginormous, gigantic, whatever joy that we can experience when we fully give ourselves over to the one who loved us enough to do that. You see, today I want to show you the ultimate gift that you can give. I want you to be able to see it. And I was able to package it up today to be able to just show you what the greatest gift is. What's the greatest gift? That's the greatest gift you can give. You see, that's the greatest gift that you can give. It's the greatest gift. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest one. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest gift you can give him today. See, that's the ultimate gift. That's the gift. That's the greatest gift you can give. You thought you were going to sneak away, didn't you? Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate gift. The greatest gift you can give. Scary, but that's the greatest gift you could give. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest gift you can give. That's the greatest gift that you can give. That's the greatest gift. That is the greatest gift you can give. That is the greatest gift for our Facebook fans. Anyway, you know, every year, nobody in my family even knows I do this. We pull this out of our decorations every year. And we put it up under the tree just like anything else, and we kind of go about our thing. And every year, I go and I get this box. And I go sit down, because I hadn't been able to do it standing yet. And I take the lid off, and I just look in and I begin to thank God. And I begin to make promises to him, pretty big promises sometimes, and I do my absolute best to keep them. But I give me to him. Because if I can't do that, I can't give me to my wife. And I can't give me to my girls. And I can't give me to y'all. See, you are the ultimate gift. You're the gift that Jesus is looking for this year. And you can't give you until you come to the place of recognizing who he is. God loved us, the world, so much that he sent his son Jesus to come live here on earth among us, knowing full well what it would take. He let that baby be born in a manger so that he could grow up into a man who would hang on a cross. He would hang on that cross and he would give his life to pay the price for our sin. Sin of all mankind, no one excluded. Everyone has the opportunity to receive that forgiveness, to receive that penalty being paid. He says whoever would believe and whoever would accept it, whoever would say, I get it, I'm a sinner, I'm separated from you, and I can't fix it on my own, who would ever believe it would be forgiven and would have eternal life. See, today you give yourself as the ultimate gift. But the amazing thing is that God being God and his love, being what it is, He gives right back. And he says, you're forgiven. You're set free. I love you. You're going to spend forever with me. See, today you can go into tomorrow, Christmas Day, knowing that you're not just worshiping a baby, that you're not just worried about gifts, you're not just worried about dinner being just right, not just worried about, you know, making sure that you get up there on 2427 and ride through that guy's yard. You don't have to worry about any of that, but you can just know whatever happens, you're forgiven and set free. So today, how about bringing our gifts? And how about bringing the gift that he really wants? And that's you. Let's pray. God, today we thank you that we have an opportunity to come and join you here. God, we gather as a family and friends, and God, we gather here today to worship you. And God, we've talked about what it means to lift our hands and just acknowledge you. To lift our hands and just acknowledge you as our Father, and that you will pick us up and hold us. God, that we can come and we can pour our hearts out to you, and we can tell you anything. We can confess our sins. We can share our dreams and our desires, and we can just pour ourselves out to you, because you are God and you're in charge. And we can come and we can bow down and acknowledge you for who you are. To put us in the proper place of lower, not because we're not as good, not because of anything else, but just acknowledging that we see you as God, and we know and we trust you, and we give it all to you. And then today we come and we bring our gift of ourselves, knowing that if we can give ourselves to you, God, we can give anything. God, you don't call us by our bank account status. You don't call us by our educational status. You don't call us by the color of our skin. You don't call us by the neighborhood we grew up in. You don't call us by any of that. You call us because you created us and you love us. And so today, God, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, as a man that would be a Savior, God, may we truly be able to just give ourselves to you. God, if there's someone here that needs to accept you for the first time, I pray today would be the day that they would just right now just acknowledge that they are lost and separated from you by sin, that your Son Jesus came and died to pay the price for that sin, and he was buried and raised again, and because of the penalty being paid and him being resurrected, that God, their sin is forgiven. They are set free for eternity in a relationship with you the moment they accept it. And that, God, they can call on you right now. And they can be that new creation that your word tells us we become. And God, that we can rejoice with them because they're set free. God, that today we can come and we can all begin afresh just acknowledging you, recommitting ourselves over to you, to follow you and just to do and be what you want us to be. So God, I don't know what you want to do in lives today, but I just pray that you have freedom to move. God, for those that just need to come and pray and acknowledge what you've done for them, God, that they can be free to do that. God, for those that want to stand where they are and just acknowledge you and maybe raise their hands, or maybe those that need to get on their knees, or those that just need to pray and pour out their heart, God, whatever needs to happen in this place, God, today may it just be free to happen because of your Spirit here among us. God, during this song and in the moments to come and the days and weeks, God, you move however you want to move. And may you find us welcoming to that and ready to do what you want us to do. God, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name.